Hi, we begin the second half hour of news from the Decatur area. Thanks for coming back for the second half hour. And for Thursday, February 4th, as always, we begin with some of the local deaths listed in the Decatur Herald and Review. Marilyn C. Pennypacker, 80, of Normal, formerly of Hopedale and Maroa, left this world at 6:32 a.m. on Tuesday, February 2nd, at her home, surrounded by her family, after a lengthy battle with many illnesses. Her funeral will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, February 6th, at Carmody Flynn Funeral Home in Bloomington. Burial will be in Maroa Township Cemetery, Maroa. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made in Marilyn's name to the Wounded Warrior Project or to the Community Cancer Center. Mary Ann Miller, 81, of Decatur, passed away on Tuesday, February 2nd, in McKinley Court. Funeral liturgy to celebrate Mary Ann's life will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, that's tomorrow, February 5th, at Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to the service at the funeral home. Memorial donations in memory of Mary Ann may be directed to St. Thomas Catholic Church. Marion Dickinson, 86, of Henderson, Nevada, formerly of Decatur, died on Saturday, January 30th, in Sunrise Hospital of Las Vegas. A memorial service will be held at 3:30 p.m. Saturday, February 6th, in Westminster Presbyterian Church, 1360 West Main Street in Decatur. Memorial donations in Marion's name may be directed to a charity of the donor's choice. The family of Marion Virginia Dickinson is being served by the Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home at 2091 North Oakland Avenue in Decatur. Georgiana Scammahorn, 95, of Decatur, passed away on Wednesday, February 3rd, in Fair Havens Christian Home. A funeral service to celebrate Georgiana's life will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, February 6th, in Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Visitation will be held tomorrow evening, 5 to 7 p.m., in the funeral home. Burial will be in North Fork Cemetery. The family of Georgiana Scammahorn is being served by Moran and Goble Funeral Home and Cremation Services at 2801 North Monroe Street in Decatur. Titus Green, Jr., 74, of Decatur, departed this life on Sunday, January 31st, peacefully surrounded by his loving family. Services celebrating his life will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, February 6th, at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, with visitation 1 hour before that. Burial will take place at Macon County Memorial Park. Professional services have been entrusted to Walker Funeral Service. James A. Peters, 81, of Clinton, passed away at 5:25 p.m. on January 25th at St. Mary's Hospital in Decatur. Visitation will be held Saturday, February 6th, from 1 to 3 p.m., with a service at 3 p.m. at Wapella Christian Church in Wapella, Illinois, with Jamie Kariakachos officiating. Memorial donations may be directed to the James A. Peters Memorial Fund. Sandra Ellen Webb, 71, of Clinton, passed away at 5:20 a.m. on February 2nd at Manor Court in Clinton, Illinois. Graveside services will be held tomorrow, that's Friday, February 5th at 10 a.m. at Friends Creek Cemetery in Argenta, Illinois, with J. Kent Hickerson officiating. There will be no visitation. Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton, Illinois is in charge of the arrangements. Memorials in Sandra's name may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Funerals that are pending, meaning still being arranged, include Sharon Gallagher, 71, of Decatur, who died on Tuesday, February 2nd. Those arrangements handled by Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Mary Matthews, 82, of Decatur, who died on Wednesday, February 3rd. Arrangements are being handled by Moran and Goble Funeral Home. And finally, Carol Ann Redman, 80, of Dietrich, who died on Tuesday, February 2nd. The Meyer Funeral Home in Dietrich is in charge of the arrangements. We turn now to the opinions page of the Decatur Herald and Review and take a look at the editorial for the day. Schools forced to play budget guessing game. The Decatur School Board discussed plans Tuesday night to cut about $3.9 million out of the budget for next year. However, the district may not have to cut that much, depending on the state budget. The board and administrators simply don't know what the state will do and can't trust the state to keep its commitment. Is this any way to operate? Of course not. For the 2015-16 school year, schools were told the state would provide 89% of what is known as the foundation level. That's not great, but at least it's a known number. Except last April, the state cut that number to 87% and then skipped the last payment of the year. With no state budget in place, the board is left guessing as to what the state will do next. The state has indicated it will fund 92% at the foundation level, and the Illinois State Board of Education has said it plans to ask for an increase in that level. But even when the state says it will do something, that promise is rarely fulfilled. I have no confidence the state will pay that 92%, board member Dan Oak said. Their tendency to forget to send the last check scares me. Although no decisions were made, the board discussed a series of cuts and changes that Superintendent Lisa Taylor said were designed to have as little impact on children and classrooms as possible. The moves being contemplated include moving the Future Unlimited Alternative Education Program to the Alternative Education Center housed in the former Technical Academy building on East El Dorado Street. Pulling special education teachers, social workers, and speech pathologists from the Macon-Piatt Special Education District and employing them directly. Reducing summer camp from 750 to 500. Reorganizing the Phoenix Academy and athletic director positions. Reducing two elementary level class size positions. Reorganizing the information technology department. And delaying purchase of MacBooks for middle school students. Perhaps some of those ideas should be implemented even without a financial crisis, but that's not really the point. Schools, which depend heavily on state funding, need to know the amount of that funding in order to make informed decisions. It is unfair to board members, administrators, teachers, parents, students, and taxpayers for the school board to be playing a guessing game at this point in the budget process. Decatur is not the only district facing this sort of problem. Across the state, school boards are trying to piece together budgets without knowing what the state contribution will be. Worse, even when the number is known, there are no guarantees the state will make all its payments. The Decatur Board is wise to prepare for a less than ideal scenario in hopes that it will improve. Operating in this state of uncertainty, however, is unacceptable. Okay, that was the editor's opinion on an issue, and now we have a letter to the editor from Don Carmichael from Decatur, who is bringing up another issue. Yet another example of our escalating nanny state mentality appeared in the January 28th opinion page under the headline, Snow Removal Extends to Sidewalks. Editors in the progressive guise of public safety promote a neighborhood ordinance to mandate snow removal from sidewalks. Quoting, "The issue is that it's unsafe because pedestrians have to make a choice," end quote, "to navigate through snow. Transition, please, nanny state, relieve us of the headache of having to decide for ourselves this obviously life-threatening public safety issue." Waxing philosophical, the editors opine, "We readily admit that ideally an ordinance wouldn't be necessary." The operative word here is ideally. Nanny state translation, shame on you. If you weren't so stupid and lazy, a neighborhood ordinance wouldn't be necessary to protect you from yourself. Grow up, children. To enhance legitimate public safety, why not provide opinion page advocacy for revising neighborhood ordinances, thus allowing residents freedom to choose eco-friendly landscaping on our own private property? Why not call for an ordinance to permit, even promote, a resident's voluntary participation in serving a higher environmental purpose? Indeed, editors, why remain silent to a nanny state mandate that only reinforces our anachronistic cultural addiction to grass lawns, which inevitably degrade life-sustaining ecosystems we all depend on for public safety? Probably the easiest and best plan for a concerned resident to help resuscitate Mother Nature's life-sustaining ecosystems is to stop maintaining monoculture grass lawns. Continued destruction of natural biodiversity via lawnmower and lawn chemicals is a fool's quest toward ecological disaster. Considering planet Earth's increasingly negative environmental indicators, are we so selfish that we will trade our children and grandchildren's future for the supposed instant gratification of grass lawns? Wow, that took a turn I didn't see coming. And a letter from Don Carmichael of Decatur. Okay, we're going to take up the Tribune again with some of the upcoming events in the Decatur area. The first brief articles, the Decatur Area's Arts Council presents Revelations by Glenn C. Davies from February 4th, so that's starting today, through the 27th in the Ann Lloyd Gallery at the Madden Arts Center, 125 North Water Street in downtown Decatur. This exhibit features the unusual work of Urbana artist Glenn C. Davies, who parlayed a childhood dream of traveling with a circus into a career as a billboard artist, sign painter, carnival show painter, sideshow banner artist, professional muralist, exhibition curator, and educator. While he pursued advanced studies in painting at Drake University and the University of Illinois, it was the unique storytelling traditions learned through his unusual circus and carnival art experiences that most influence the personal banner subjects he now creates. Davies realized that he could give his personal perspective of life issues a more worldly application by painting them in a metaphorical or allegorical setting. Often, the title of the work refers to a colloquial phrase, proverb, or saying employed as a clue to help unlock the riddle of the painting. His goal is to suspend time, reveal a moment of mystery, and perhaps open minds to choices and new ways of facing life's challenges. An opening reception, free to the public, will be held on Friday, February 5th, from 5 to 7:30 p.m. during the first Friday gallery walk. Davies will also speak about his art at 6 p.m. Live music will be provided by singer-songwriter Ashley Riley. The gallery walk also features artists at two other downtown galleries, The same deal Friday, tomorrow, in the Blue Connection at 117 North Water Street. Jessica Brooks Seebach will have portraits and other two-dimensional art, and the artist will talk at 6 p.m. And at Gallery 510 at 160 East Main Street, Judy Kemmons will have on display her paintings, and she will speak at 6:30 p.m. This program is funded in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council Agency. And for more information, contact the Decatur Area Arts Council at 423-3189. Community blood drives were held yesterday and continue today. Richland Community College will host a blood drive today. It started at 10 a.m. and goes to 3 p.m. at One College Park inside Schilling's Salon 1. To donate, contact the Community Blood Center at 217-241-7550 or visit www.bloodcenterimpact.org. And use code 60599 to locate the drive. Donors who last gave blood on or before December 10th are eligible to give at this drive. Potential donors must be at least 17 years of age, 16 with parental permission form available through www.bloodcenter.org, and weigh more than 110 pounds. A photo identification or Central Illinois Community Blood Center donor card is required to donate. For questions about eligibility, call CICBC at 800-747-5401. Blood donation is a safe, simple procedure that takes about 45 minutes to 1 hour. Individuals with diabetes or controlled high blood sugar may be accepted as eligible donors. Here's a fun thing. What should you look for on food labels? How do you pick foods on a budget? What is a healthy option out of all the different foods available? Let Healthy Eating Through the Aisles Grocery Tour help answer these questions and more as you take a guided tour of a local grocery store with nutrition experts. Eating Healthy Through the Aisles Store Tour will meet February 11th from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the County Market at 1175 West Grand Street in Decatur. This event is a partnership between County Market and the University of Illinois Extension. The tour is free, but you must reserve a spot in advance. Register online at go.illinois.edu/DMP. by February 8th, or by calling the Macon County Extension office at 217-877-6042. The University of Illinois Extension provides equal opportunities and programs and employment. If you need reasonable accommodation to participate in this program, please call 217-877-6042. Highway Construction Training Program offered. A free 450-hour training program will be offered through Illinois Department of Transportation and Richland Community College to increase the number of women, minorities, and disadvantaged individuals who obtain employment in the Illinois highway construction industry. Participants will learn basic construction, safety, and job readiness skills. Individuals must be 18 years or older, have a valid driver's license, and a high school diploma or GED. To be considered for this free training, individuals must attend one of the following orientation sessions: Thursday, February 25th at 10 a.m. or 2 p.m., or Friday, February 26th at 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. For more information or to schedule your appointment for orientation, call Seth at 217-875-7211, extension 321. The deadline to reserve an orientation space is February 20th, which is only a couple weeks away. How about volunteer training classes at the Scoville Zoo? If you enjoy working with animals or children, an exciting volunteer opportunity awaits you at the zoo. Volunteer training classes will be held on Tuesdays, they've already begun, February 2nd through April 5th, from 9 a.m. to noon at Scoville Zoo. Training covers biology review, animal handling techniques, and instruction for various zoo volunteer duties. No experience is needed and sessions are free. You must be 18 years of age or older, and I'm afraid I wish I had caught this a little earlier, because that's now saying that you had to set up an interview by January 25th. And here we are already in February. I don't know why this article makes me think of spring, though, and that we'll soon be out and about and visiting the zoo and other parks and wonderful places. Okay, there is something that's still coming up. The 6th annual For the Love of It Cabaret Dinner Theater is back at the Decatur Club tomorrow, Friday, February 5th, and Saturday, February 6th. I wonder if they've already sold out. It doesn't indicate that, so I'm going to keep going. The For the Love of It show was developed in 2011 by Beth Mason Creighton and Aaron Largent as a way to honor those fighting cancer and as a way to give back to the foundations that had helped their own families when they were in need of their information and support. The cocktail hour begins at 5:30 with dinner served at 6, and the show follows at 7. During dinner, audience members are given a catalog of songs to peruse. Once the show begins, the audience members request the songs they want to hear by shouting out the corresponding number found in the catalog. Sounds fun. The same 24 songs will be performed both nights, but the order and pace at which they performed is determined by the audience. The interactive nature of the show has made it a fun and popular experience for all involved. Many familiar Decatur names have been involved with this show over the years, and this year's cast is no exception. The 2016 cast includes Beth Creighton, Keith Creighton, Matt Hall, Ted Hesse, Kayla Hugo Hittmeyer, Michael Holder, Amy Hartman Jedlicka, Aaron Largent, Leslie Swafford Lewis, John Musick, Shelley Hennigan Simon, and Chelsea Waller. All proceeds benefit the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Tickets are $35 and include the dinner and the show, as well as an after party with the cast in the mezzanine lounge. Tickets can be reserved by calling the Decatur Club at 429-4200. Boy, does that sound like fun. I return now to the Decatur Herald and Review, and on the front page was a tribute to a local physician here in Decatur, and the headline reads, "It won't be the same without Dr. Fritz," and this is an article written by Justin Kahn. When Dr. Richard Fritz died suddenly in November, hundreds of patients in the Decatur area were left without a doctor. And Fritz wasn't just any doctor. Most of his patients had been with him more than a decade, some their entire lives. He was a doctor who got to know his patients personally and went the extra mile to care for them. Most of his patients are older, with long medical histories Fritz knew by heart or could access easily through the meticulous records kept by Fritz and his office employees. Those records have made it easier for the variety of doctors Fritz's former present patients have been spread around to. No one doctor could take on his large practice, but that doesn't make it any easier for those doctors to live up to Fritz's legend. Joe Gant, 74, of Decatur, had never had a doctor not named Fritz. Fritz's father, Herbert, had been Gant's doctor as a baby. Then when Richard Fritz joined the practice and Herbert retired, Gant went to Richard. No one will ever be able to replace Dr. Fritz. I won't live long enough for that to happen, Gant said. He had such charisma. I would go in for my physical once a year, and we would just sit and talk Cardinals and Illinois football. I'd go in there for a little test, just getting my finger stuck or something he didn't need to be there for, and he'd always make sure to stick his head in and ask me how my trip to spring training was, or about something going on in my life that we'd talked about. I talked to other patients of his, and they said the same. I don't know how he remembered all that. No one likes going to the doctor, but with him, I didn't mind going. I really miss him. It almost felt like I lost a member of my family when he died. But it wasn't just his bedside manner that made Fritz mean so much to his patients. Tom Branson and his wife, Jerry, of Decatur, were patients of Fritz's for more than 30 years. Why was he such a good doctor? How long do you got? Tom Branson said. I've never known of a doctor who cared more about their patients. He was always there for you, night or day. He never minded a call in the middle of the night. Tom Branson had a heart attack in 2004 and had a stent put in. Fritz wasn't the surgeon, but was in the operating room to help if needed. He stayed with my wife at the hospital most of the evening until close to midnight, Tom said. When they were ready to release me, he said he'd already talked to my cardiologist and was going to go by his office to get some samples of the medicines I needed and put it in my mailbox so we wouldn't have to stop at the pharmacy in the middle of the night. Another time I took a stress test. He would always insist on being there for the stress test in case something went wrong. It turned out I was fine, and I told him I was embarrassed I'd wasted his time. He said, "Hold on a minute. We need to have a conversation." He said I should never hesitate and not to worry about being embarrassed. That conversation saved my life. Though it's been difficult for Fritz's patients to move on, they still need care. It's not necessarily easy to find a new doctor. Not all of them are taking new patients, and it's important for each individual to find the right fit. It's just like shopping for a car. You have to know what you need, said Decatur Memorial Hospital Chief Medical Officer David Baumberger. If you need routine wellness checks for your family and everyone is pretty healthy, a family practitioner would provide excellent care. Someone with young children needs a pediatrician. An older patient with more complex problems should look for a doctor specializing in internal medicine. A young woman or a woman in her middle years who is otherwise healthy can get by all their primary care through an OBGYN. And the most important thing when you're ready to choose a doctor is to make sure they're board certified. That way you know they've completed a certain level of competency within their specialty. DMH offers a service to help find a doctor called DMH Physician Link. The phone number is 217-876-2856. Baumberger also advised to ask friends and family who they go to and what their experience was. There's a little bit more information in this article, but we do not have the time to get to it. We're at the end of the second half hour of news from the Decatur area for Thursday, February 4th. This has been Ruth McCauley reading with you today. It's always a pleasure. I look forward to reading again next week, and until then, y'all take care.